Right now, though, it is time to bring in a guest that shows up on a regular basis here every week, and that is Thorin Christendotter from Main Street Magazine. Main Street Magazine on Robin Hood Radio. Good morning, Thorin.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. Very good, especially with this nice little stretch of weather. You know, I was talking with Pat Pagano this morning, and out south, down the west coast, of course, they have a drought. Now in the southern part of the country, they've got a heat wave, massive flooding in the upper northern plains. And we're just sitting here with plain, boring weather with partly cloudy skies. You know, I think we should appreciate it here, living where we live.
Well, it does make you, you know, take stock and appreciate it, doesn't it?
Well, it does. You know, in the wintertime, we have to put up with, you know, snowstorms.
True.
And we have to put up with an occasional brush from a hurricane and stuff like that. And an occasional tornado. But other than that, no. I mean, things are pretty good for us here. We're lucky.
Well, we could even eliminate one of those and say that a lot of people actually like to snow.
They do. But even people who like snow don't like 3.5 feet of snow.
Okay. I'll give you that.
Yeah, you know, that's the way it is. Now, for some reason, I'm having a tough time on bringing up your PDF for the magazine today. It goes along with everything else that's been going on with me today here. Let's try this again here. Click here. Not getting anything?
It's not loading?
It's not loading very fast, so it might be my computer.
It's a big PDF.
It might be my computer, because I did get an update from Windows. So, you know, anything's possible. So we're going to go to a different one. Let's see what we can bring up here. With any luck at all. I've had just an absolutely horrible morning.
Well, that's too bad, and too bad we're doing it live, but what are you going to do, right?
You put up with what you put up. Okay, here we go. We'll see what happens here on this computer now. There we go.
Okay.
There we finally got it. Without this, I'm lost, that's for sure. All right, so we're in the middle of June.
We are.
I just marvel at what goes on a weekend to weekend basis here in our region. We really are back to normal with all these things that are coming up in our area.
It sure seems so.
It's nice. That's all I can say about it. I guess we'll go to the article about June Bride.
Talked about that one last time. I think we are up to actually the Renaissance.
Ah, okay. Well, let's go to the Renaissance then.
That Dominique wrote for us about the Renaissance of Great Barrington.
Oh, okay. Yep, absolutely. Great Barrington's always been, you know, you weren't around here. There was a massive fire in Great Barrington many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It made national news because it destroyed a good portion of the business downtown district.
What year was that?
Oh, gosh. I can't remember what year, but it was a while ago.
Mm.
And I was in Kingston, New York, I think, when it happened. and then it made national news. But Great Barrington always, you know, we've always had two towns that have been kind of center of things going on. One was Torrington, mm-hmm. and one was Great Barrington.
Mm-hmm.
And Torrington is still Torrington. You've got so much arts there. And Great Barrington really has become, and Millerton has followed in Great Barrington's footsteps. Great Barrington is just a place where people can go, a destination. They don't have to have a reason to go there. There's just mm-hmm. so much to do in Great Barrington.
And Millerton just seems to be a little, you know, half or maybe a third of the size of the Great Barrington.
Yeah, but it's on the same track. That's the great thing
it.
It's on the same track. And I think one of the things that always helped Great Barrington was the Mahiwi Theater. I think the thing that really kicked it off in Millerton, by the way, was the movie house, when the movie house opened up and started showing movies.
It did. The Sadlins did a fantastic job with turning that around and bringing in really interesting films, as well as mainstream films.
And so people had other reasons to come, and now you've got plenty of restaurants and stuff like that. But Great Barrington really is pretty amazing. And it's like when they did the sidewalk project a couple of years ago and they took down all the trees, it really was devastating to people. It was devastating because it changed the way springtime looked in Great Barrington.
It certainly did.
But there's so much going on there, and they really are. If you're in Great Barrington, you're the center of the arts community because you've got Williamstown way to the north, and you got Kent way to the south, and then east and west, and they're just about geographically right in the middle of everything that happens.
You're kind of the gateway to the Berkshires, yeah.
Yep, absolutely, and there's just a lot to do, and the store owners seem to be heritage store owners. If a store closes down, one opens up right away.
Right. Well, the story that we have started in the 90s, or I guess late 80s, early 90s, and Dominique interviewed Richard Stanley, who owns, amongst other things, the movie theater there, and a number of other people about what was happening there, the transformation, the decisions that were made to bring it to where it was today, because you probably remember there were empty lots and not much going on in certain areas. And I guess after the fire, there was still some recuperation having to be done. And so they were kind of spearheaded that effort. And so the argument is that they helped spark the renaissance of, or second or third, you know, renaissance of Great Barrington to bring it to where it is today.
It really is a town that's just filled with lots of different stores. So kudos to Great Barrington, and also they got through the pandemic.
They did, and they have great activities too. Have you been to the car show in August that usually takes place there?
Actually, a couple of years broadcast from the car show, we actually. When the schools go back in session in the summer, when the camps go in session, now the past 2 years it hasn't been that way. We used to broadcast up in Great Barrington also because there was just literally hundreds of families, so thousands of people came in, and when they dropped their children off at the different camps around there, they came to Great Barrington for shopping, for eating, and everything like that. So we used to broadcast from Great Barrington quite a bit, and that's why I look at Millerton and I look at what Millerton does, and they really have followed in the footsteps of Great Barrington. There's just so you can compare the two. Millerton's much smaller, but you can still compare the two.
For sure.
All right.
What's the unique flavor that each town has?
Yeah, absolutely, and Great Barrington is just a stone's throw away. Of course, you have to be careful going through Sheffield because if you speed, it's amazing how many people get caught speeding in there.
And in Egremont too.
Well, yeah, I know about Egremont.
It was funny. I think it was about 20 years ago. I was watching CNN headline news, and they were talking about the number one town in the United States that gave the most speeding tickets, and it was Egremont, Massachusetts.
I remember very well once coming back through Egremont, and I was rushing to get back to the station. It was from a broadcast, and I was coming down 41, and I was going 70 miles an hour, and a police cruiser was coming the other way. And he turned around, and by the time he got to my car, he was apoplectic. Apoplectic. His face was so red, I thought he was going to actually kill me. But anyways, but that's the history of speeding in Great Barrington. Let's go to the next story, Making All the Difference.
This is about the life and legacy of Richie, and I'm hoping I'm pronouncing his last name correctly, Vacek. But Catherine Burke, who has worked with the Bridge Authority, New York State Bridge Authority, and has written some books about bridges in New York, wrote this for us about this gentleman who worked at the Bear Mountain Bridge for most of his life, and spearheaded a museum there that collaborates with local schools and organizations. You can go see. You have to make an appointment, though, but he collected memorabilia and helped put it together. I believe it was his idea, actually, just as an ode to the bridge that he loved so much. And unfortunately, Richie has passed away last year. So this is kind of a dedication to him and his effort and his legacy.
You know, when you talk about toll collectors and the bridges, I'm old enough to remember toll booths where you threw tolls were actually, this is how old I am, a dime. But then they went up, originally toll collectors. And it used to be so cool to, you know, to have toll collectors.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's very, very few toll collectors left. As a matter of fact, there's very few places that you can even throw tokens in. Everything's via digital passes.
Yeah, they've limited even some of the houses or the toll houses now.
Yeah, yeah, it's amazing. Well, anyway, the Bear Mountain Bridge. Well, that's kind of cool. It's a cool story about him.
Speaking of the toll bridges, we were actually, for our podcast, interviewing Tara Sullivan, who used to be the former head of the New York State Bridge Authority. She was explaining to us how that whole system worked with the tolls and why they went up and sometimes down and then now going all digital. And it's a fascinating story about how that all works It's the only independent organization in New York State, the New York State Bridge Authority.
And you know what's great about to them? When you cross the George Washington Bridge, you never realize that you're paying $14. Before you knew it, now it's painless.
Well, actually, that's not part of the New York State Bridge Authority. That's only the Hudson Valley Bridges, the five bridges.
Yeah,
that's a different bridge authority.
But you just don't know what you're paying. Thank gosh.
Yeah, all just right. Take my easy pass and let's call it a day.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Nice story on Chris Kennan,
town supervisor of Northeast. Yes.
Yeah.
He's a character. I love seeing him around town, and he's trying to do a lot of good things in town, in Millerton, Northeast, part of Millerton's part of that. But Griffin wrote a great piece on him, a profile on him about balancing change and tradition. He talks about Chris's background and how he came into being town supervisor and how he has approached that and some of the projects, including the town garage. And in kind of his view on these things.
It's anybody that gets into public office, I just give credit to A, they're doing their service to the community, and B, nowadays it's not easy. It's just not easy. Because there's a lot of people up here that can afford lawyers. And these poor people, whether you're a supervisor or a member of one of the boards, you're faced many, many different times with these lawyers and it's a thankless job. And mm-hmm. the great thing about people like Chris and Brent Colley here and everybody that serves on local boards and runs is that the idea for our country, the Congress and the Senate, was that it was average Americans that ran for these positions. They did their 2 years, 4 years, 6 years, and then they went back to their jobs.
Right.
And that's really what made this country so different. And now it's still that way on the local level, thank gosh.
Yes.
But on the national level, it's a career opportunity for people. And it was never meant to be that way. It was meant to be the average American went, Mr. Smith goes to Washington and then does his civic duty and then comes back. So that's what's great. We get a glimpse of that all the time here in our region, which we're very lucky.
For sure.
Okay, final story.
Mm-hmm.
Getting into the swing of golf.
So Mary O'Neill has decided to go golfing with some of her friends, and she went to the Canaan Country Club, which is under new ownership, and speaks a little bit about that and also about the golf pro there and some of her tips. And her name is Kay, and Mary raved about her and her instruction and the methodology that she uses, and Mary shared some of those tips with us here. So for those who are interested in trying out golf or maybe trying out a new golf course, she tells us all about Kay and the Canaan Country Club.
And you know what's so interesting about golf is that we have a lot of you've got the Canaan Country Club, you've got the golf club at Hotchkiss, you've got Undermountain Golf, and it's really true. Everybody's friends on the golf course. It doesn't matter whether you're white, black, yellow, red, conservative, liberal. It seems like when you get out on the golf course, everybody just loves to play, and everything fades away and goes to the background.
Right.
And by the way, the new ownership of the golf club, it was great about them. He still has his other business, which is restoring antique cars.
Yeah, Wheels of Time and Pen Plains. Yep, yeah. He certainly does.
And you know what? I think when I spoke to him, he looked at when he took over the country club as once again restoring the country club. He looked at it as totally different than what most people would think one would look at it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he's done a great job. It's like anything else nowadays with COVID. He took it over at a very rough time.
Right.
And he's been successful. And kudos to all the businesses. And I hope all the businesses are enjoying the comeback this year, because we certainly needed it. We certainly needed it. All right. Well, that is a look at the magazine. Are you already set for next month already?
We're getting there, of course, per everything. And I just blame COVID now. But we got a little behind, and we're staying behind. So, our deadlines have shifted a little bit. But we're in the throes of it. Ashley is hard at work right now with getting ads and working with our advertisers. There's still a window if folks want to advertise, because July is our food and drink issue, which is one of our most, or probably the most popular issue, usually our biggest issue too. And so I'm almost there with all the editorial, and we close out next Monday for all ads. So I hope to send files maybe Tuesday, Wednesday next week, and we'll have them, because the 4th of July falls on a Monday, so I'm not sure how when our printer is going to get it to us, if it's on the 1st or if it'll be right around the 4th that we get it, but it'll be out the first week there.
All right. Well, Thorin, thanks for putting up for the messy beginning today.
That's all right.
And we'll speak to you next week.
All right, sounds terrific. Enjoy the weather.
Take care. Bye-bye. Thorin Christendotter, Main Street Magazine, here on Robin Hood Radio. Of course, you can find Main Street Magazine, free pickup throughout the tri-state region, and also at their website, which is mainstreetmag.com.